Good morning. It's always joyful to be in the house of the Lord, and it's honor and privilege to be able to open the Word of God before you. When I was preparing my sermon, I was looking for some fancy words for the title of my sermon, Sanctity of Life, Sacred enough of life. And actually, I was tempted to look in the dictionary to find out the similar words, and I will pick the fancier one. And none of those fancy words could communicate what the Bible communicates to us. Value of life, sacredness of life, sanctity of life. It doesn't make sense if it's not based on the Word of God. Yeah. So my sermon today, as Brother Josh said, is inspiration from the VBS theme. I praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The inspiration of this sermon is also from a book which I read recently, The God I Don't Understand. This is the title of the book. And it's not about creation. It's not about the sanctity of life. In one of its chapters, the author discusses about the sacredness of life and genocide in the book of Joshua. So looking at these two themes, the sacredness of life and the genocide in the book of Joshua, I started thinking and praying. And as I said, I was looking for some fancy words, and I couldn't. So I thought I will put everything aside which I have read, and I just emptied myself and allowed the Lord to give me the insight from His Word. So I decided not to quote any book. I decided not to do anything apart from the Bible. So when I'm preaching about the value of life, I will quote the Bible verses. And that's what we are here for. 10 years ago, I would never ever think about this subject. In fact, in Asian countries, nobody doubts that they are human being, if they are human being. Everybody knows that they are human being and they are created by God. Whether they are Muslim or Christian, they all believe that. And sanctity of life and the theme of this VBS is a little bit scary for me, because our kids, they need to learn that they are made in the image of God. 50 years ago, you wouldn't think about this. You knew it. And now the world is changing. The schools are teaching the little kids that they are a lump of chemicals. They are just sprung up somewhere. They are not made in the image of God. So today we are looking at the value of life, what makes human being different from all the other creation of God. What makes you special? Why God takes so much care for you? So that's today we are going to look from the Bible. When David was writing his, singing one of his psalms, he said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and avenger. When I consider my heavens, the work of my fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest? I imagine that he was looking Perhaps it was nighttime where you can see the stars and moon. Just looking at the star and comparing himself and asking, what's in me? What is man that God should visit him? Who are you that God should look upon you? He looks at the moon and he says, wow, that's more beautiful than me. Stars, they look more beautiful than me. If I stand beside peacock, peacock will look more beautiful than me. Let's pray. Let's pray and proceed on. Our loving, merciful Father, thank you for creating us in your image. Thank you that your word is truth, and truth sets us free. We commit ourselves in your hands, and we pray that please let our minds and not be distracted. Allow us to stay here mentally, emotionally, physically, in any way, so that we will be able to hear what your word has to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what makes you so special? In my sermon, I'm going to give you 7 reasons what makes you different from other creation of God. And I will give 2 reasons why human beings are so significant, why you're so special. So let's begin with a story. I hope you've heard the news a couple years ago when a 3-year-old child, he fell in the cage of gorilla. In order to save that life, little life, they shot the gorilla dead. When I was preparing this sermon, I also read an article from, I think his name is Prager, Dennis Prager, very famous talk show host. And he's also a writer. I think his famous book is Genesis, Creation and Destruction. And he says, from 1970, I have asked students if they would first try to save their drowning dog or drowning stranger. And for 40 years, I have received the same results. 1/3 vote for their dog, 1/3 vote for the stranger, and 1/3 don't know what they would do. And there was another survey which they did. They asked about a stranger and a dog. Out of 500 people, 80% respond, it depends the type of dog, what kind of dog it is, or what kind of human it is. So they have to know the kind of the dog and human. But the Bible states it very, very clearly, that human being, the man, is above all his creation. So let's look at the Bible. What makes us different from the other creation? Now this is creation account. Genesis chapter 1, 2, they talk about God creating everything you see in the world. And so let's begin. The first reason I would say we are different from human being, we are not part of let there be creation. Do you know that creation can be categorized in different categories? God created heaven and earth. He created plants. He created animals. And there are some things which he created by saying, let there be. And there they were. For example, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And then in verse number 6, God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Let there be creation. There are things which God said, let there be, and there they were. Well, human being is not that type of creation. Do you know that God didn't say, let there be human beings, and there were human beings? God didn't say that. God said, let there be light, and there was light, but he didn't say, let there be human beings. We are not part of that creation. And in verse number 14, he said, let there be lights in the firmament. We're talking about moon and the sun. Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the light. But God didn't say such thing about you. He didn't say, let there be man and there was man. Let there be woman and there was woman. And you are also not part of brought forth creation. In the creation account, there were some things which God said, let there be, and there they were. But there were some things God created by saying, let the earth bring forth. For example, if you read verse number 11, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Let the earth bring forth herb, the herb yielding seed, the fruit trees yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seeds in itself. And verse number 20, it says, and God said, let the water bring forth abundantly the moving creatures. All the moving creatures you see around me, koala and kangaroo, they just sprung up. As soon as he said, let the earth bring forth all the living creatures, they just started coming from the earth. You and I were not made that way. God didn't say, let the earth bring forth man. So you and I, we are not part of let there be creation. You and I, we are not part of bring forth or brought forth creation. Greek mythology says that human being was sprung up from the ground. According to their mythology, they say when winter went over, when finished, they saw the plants springing up from the earth. And they saw, oh, human being must have sprung that way. And by the passage of time, gods and the heroes of the world, they trained human being how to live, how to build a house, how to cook. This is how the human being, they became civilized. But their creation, there is no such thing as creation. We are not brought forth. We are not let there be creation. Third, the human being is not created by his word. We all Christians believe, there is no doubt, we 100% believe that the whole creation was built by the word of God. God said, let there be, and there was what he said. But not you and I. In fact, the first chapter of Genesis doesn't say word create about human being. There are three different words used in Hebrew Bible for creation. When in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God created heaven and earth. The word for created is bara, which means to create something out of nothing. And then when God said, let there be, it is Hebrew word, haya. And when God said, let the earth bring forth, bringing forth, is Hebrew word, dasha. And when God said, let us make man, the Hebrew word is asa, which doesn't mean create. Asa means to form something with your hands. Asa means to fashion something. Asa means to get down and build something. I would see God bending down and playing with dough and making human being. And you're a Christian, you know this is not the last time God bent down, came down, and created human being. The second time he created human being, he had to come down. So, you are not just production of let there be, and you were there. You are production of God making, building your nose, your lips, your ears, your legs, shaping your body. It gives me that goosebump. I am not the part of kangaroo family. I didn't sprung up from the earth. I'm not part of koala. I am not that. God formed me. He fashioned me. When he said, let us make man, who was he talking to? It is a self-talking. When you're sitting free in your home, you have nothing to do, do you talk to yourself? And you say, do you tell yourself, let's read a book. Let's watch a TV. Let's watch wrestling, that's what I do. I mean, this is what God is saying. Let us make man. And I believe in the last 6 days, I used to say the 6 days of creation, they are six brushes. Every time he painted something, he said, well, I think there is missing. There is something missing. First day, second day, third day, fifth day, sixth day. When he brushed his last brush, when the human being was created, he said, it's done. It's finished. Oh, Jesus said it's finished. When he finished the spiritually created work, creation work, he said it's finished. So remember, we are made by his hands. We are fashioned by his hand. Oh. Okay, fourth. Man is made with earth and eternity. Man is made, you are made with earth and eternity. Let me read two verses for you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became living soul. So you are dust, and God breathes in you, and you become living soul. But there is another interesting verse in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning of the end. In every other version of the Bible except King James, the word world in this verse is translated as eternity. He has put eternity in his heart. And Hebrew word olam is used 430 times, 13 times in the Old Testament, and it has never been translated world as it is translated in this verse. 412 times it is translated forever, everlasting, eternal. I don't know why King James decided to put this word here, but in original meaning, it means everlasting. It means eternity. So when God was making you with his hands, he was shaping you, and he breathed his breath in you, he also put eternity in your heart. See, kangaroo doesn't strive to live long life. Animals, they don't think about eternity. It is human beings who think about eternity.
That's true.
Why? Because God has put that spark in us. He has made us in his image. He is eternal. And he has put that eternity in our hearts. Which means, whichever religion you belong to, you keep thinking, there is something more. This world is not enough. There is something more. I'm not sure if peacock or kangaroo or koala or lion or goat or sheep thinks the same way. It's human being. The Lord has put eternity in your hearts, whether you believe it or not. It is you who think about everlasting life, because it is placed in our hearts. It is placed in our heart to look for something, to look beyond this dying world. That makes us different from the animal kingdom. That makes us different from every other creation of God. Fifth, man is made in the image of God. Now, this is very common theme. I think it's well known phrase. We are made in the image of God. How do you perceive this is a different story. When the Bible says we are made in the image of God, it does not mean that God has a physique like us. The Bible doesn't suggest that God has legs and feet and fingers and head and hair like us. It means that we are made with his characteristics. We are created with love, mercy, compassion, care. We cry, we grieve. That's all the emotions which God has created in us. I hope you have read your Bible. Can anyone, any of you, find a merciful angel in the Bible? I haven't read about merciful angels. That sets you apart from every other creation. Human beings are merciful. You know why? Because God is merciful. He has created us in his image with love, with mercy. I mean, one angel in one night can kill 85,000 people without any mercy. 2 Samuel chapter 24, it's a sad story. David sins. And God punishes him. 70,000 people died in one day. And David, God opened his eyes and he saw an angel standing, holding sword in his hand and about to extend his sword towards Jerusalem to destroy it. At that moment, there were only two people who moved with mercy. The first one was God. And the second one was David. And the angel was emotionless. He just did what was told him. It required a human being to say, if you do not forgive this nation, erase my name from the book which you have written. Do you know whose these words are? Moses. Moses said, If you don't forgive this nation, erase my name. Because we are created in the image of God. We can display mercy. We can be loving. We can be caring. We are in His image. Number six. We are made with personal interest. We are made with personal interest. It's not just God said, let there be creation, let there be man and woman, and there were man and woman. We are made with personal interest. A very famous Bible verse is stuck on that wall. It says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The word fearfully translated in English means with intense interest. And it can also mean respect. And when Hebrew word wonderfully translated into English, it can mean set apart. We are not created like animals. We are created to be human beings. We are created to be like God in His image, to express what He is. We are not like the creation which God created by saying His word. He created us wonderfully and fearfully. Number seven, human being is made to have dominion. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We were made to have dominion, not on each other, on all the creation of God. Psalm chapter 115 and verse 16, it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He hath given to the children of men. We are created. When God created everything, all His creation, He needed a king. So He created you and me. And it's the creation of man. When He made man and woman, that's when He blessed all His creation and He blessed the work He did. Let's move on. And I would like to share just two more things about the significance of human life. And I would like to say first, man's influence on creation. When God created man, He blessed everything. And sadly, when Genesis chapter 3, when man disobeyed God, He also cursed everything. The separation between man and God was not possible. The harmony between man and animal was not possible. Do you remember reading in the Bible? Every animal came to Adam so that Adam could name them. I mean, lion was named by Adam. Nowadays, if any animal needs name change, he wouldn't come to you. They will figure out by themselves who they are. It was Adam who said, okay, you are sheep, you're koala, you're kangaroo. You can imagine two animals talking. What did he name you? Oh, I was named giraffe. And what did he name you? And he said, oh no, it was long queue, so I thought I'll go to him tomorrow. This is how the creation of God worked. But when man sinned, everything was cursed. Everything. This is the influence of man. You and I influence the whole creation. whole creation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. I mean, what did the earth do to get cursed? What did the animal do to get cursed? It is you and I. It is the sin of Adam. His obedience and his disobedience was powerful enough to influence the whole creation of God. This sets us apart from all the other creation of God. You go ahead on YouTube and watch the highly intelligent people who call themselves intelligent, and they will tell you that you are a lump of chemical, but you have a wisdom in you. Bible doesn't set us apart because we are wise, because we know that we are not wise. We are not wise. The only wisdom we can express is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the only wisdom. But in general, we are not wise people. Man's obedience and disobedience could influence the whole universe. Verse number 18, chapter number 3, it says, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. And then, I think I'm moving forward. I'm making a mistake. How do you go back? Yes. Good. It's working. I was supposed to be here. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Just one man's obedience brought death and sin. And death passed upon all men, so that for that all have sinned. The whole humanity went wrong. Man was created in the image of God. You and I, Adam and Eve, they were created in the image of God. But sadly, Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 says, and Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his likeness after his image. Genesis chapter 1, human being is made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 5, when sin came in, it says, Adam had a son in his likeness and on his image. Our human being, the man God created, was powerful enough to influence the earth by his disobedience and by his obedience. If the Bible stories stayed here, it would have been heartbreaking. We would be the most cursed people on earth if the Bible story had stayed here. But the Bible story didn't stay there. God made a redemption plan for human being. God made a plan. God didn't leave human being in their dead condition. God loved his image, and he came to save his image. The most famous Bible verse is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he came, that he gave his son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't leave us in sin. He didn't leave us dead. He didn't leave us separated from him. He didn't leave us in our death condition, but he made a plan. When the angels sinned, he didn't make any plan of redemption. In fact, when angels sinned, God prepared hell for them. He didn't become angel to save the angels, but he did become man to save man. Once a kid asked me, "So you say God loves us. How can you explain hell?" Well, Jesus said that hell is not prepared for human being. It was prepared for the angels who rebelled against God. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 says, "And then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." It's not prepared for you and me. For you and I, God has prepared everlasting life. For human being, he has prepared a place. Jesus said, "I'm preparing a place for you." But the place which the hell is for the disobedient angels and demons. If humans go to hell, they go to hell by their choice. Not because God wants them to go to hell. God is loving. He wants everybody to get saved. But it's our personal choice by which we go to hell. John chapter 1 verse, actually it's the whole chapter. It says in verse number 12, I think I would like to open my Bible and read these verses for you. If you have your Bible, let's open the Gospel of John chapter 1. I feel like in Pakistan when I say please open your Bible, because in Asian countries, in Pakistan, you don't have power slideshow. So everybody, usually when in my country, pastor comes to preach, he says, please keep your Bibles open. So let's read from John chapter 1. I will start reading for you from verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own received him not. Most of the scholars, they say when verse number 11 says he came to his own, usually people interpret it's talking about the Jewish people. Let me say, I agree with them, but I have my own interpretation. Verse number 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was created by him. He was here in the midst of us, and we were created by him. So when he came to save us. He looked at every person, every individual, and he could say, he's my own. He's my own. That's why John 3:16 says he loved the world. He came to his own. When he came, he didn't look at Jews or Gentiles. He looked at his own. The ones who were created on his image. Man was so important, precious in his eyes, that he became man. Hebrew chapter 1 verse 3 says that he is the expressed image of God. He is exact representation of God. He came to save us because we were made in his image. The significance of human life does not rest in the intelligence, his ability to speak, or his ability to conquer the world. The significance of human life rests in the fact that we are created on his image. That's why he left his throne. We were precious enough so that he could leave his glorious throne and his heaven to come down and recreate us. First time he created us, he made us, bent down and made us in his own image. Second time, when he wanted to recreate us, when he wanted to make us, he again went, got down, came from heaven to save us from the death, from hell, which he prepared for the devil and his demons. We need to remember this fact, and we need to tell this to our children, that we're not just dust. We're not just chemical. We are made in the image of God. And God loves us. Such a love that he couldn't stay there. He couldn't just stand still and watch human being die. His love was so great that he couldn't see us going out from the garden which he had prepared for them. And read the work of recreation he has already started. He is recreating the human being. He's restoring the image which was lost because of man's sin. Because of our sin, the image in which God created us is damaged, is disfigured. Jesus came to restore that image. Because without that image, we wouldn't be able to enter into his presence. Jesus came and died for you and I, for the whole world, so that we will have the same relationship which we had in the Garden of Eden. And that makes us special. That makes us sacred. That makes us special, not in our eyes, but in his eyes. And I think if it's not how much special you are in your eyes, it's not how much special you are in your mom's or dad's eyes, to be in God's eyes special is even better. Because he can come and save us. Because then he can come and fix us. He can come and restore us. Let's have an application for the sermon. Before you leave, I would like you to think about these things. We are precious in his sight. We are precious. Or you might say, oh yeah, I know I'm Christian. Of course, I am Christian. I am precious in his sight. No, I'm not talking about this. Whether you're a Christian or whether you are not, you are special in his eyes. When God said you are special in my eyes, we were still sinners. The book of Romans says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In your worst spiritual condition, you were special in his eyes. Otherwise, he wouldn't leave his throne. Otherwise, he wouldn't leave his glorious heaven and come down. He would not put humanity to save humanity if you were not special. If we think we are special now, we are wrong. We were special when we were not saved, and we are special when we are saved. So keep this in your mind. And second thing I would like to say, we are his own. He wants us to receive him. Interestingly, it doesn't say that he came to his own and they did not recognize him. If you recognize somebody, you'll receive him. It doesn't say he came to his own and they didn't recognize him. It says he came to his own and they did not receive him. He didn't come in the form of a glorious angel, a flaming angel. if he would come in a glorious form, you would run away from him. When he says he came to his own, that means he was putting humanity. He was coming to you in your form. Billy Graham writes an illustration in one of his books, and he says, if you want to tell an ant, I love you, how would you say that? How would you tell an ant that you love her? You'll have to become an ant, right? If you want to tell a sheep, hey sheep, I love you, you'll have to become a sheep. God wanted to say, I love you, I'm coming to you, and he didn't come in the form of angel. He came in the form of humanity. He came as a man. So that you will know that he is coming to his own. So when Jesus looked around when he was on earth, he knew he was in his own, and his own did not receive him. I am not sure what is your spiritual condition. If you have made that decision in your life or not, if you have received him in your life or not, I don't know. I made that decision when I was 7 years old. My mom said, whatever you do, you're good in Sunday school, but remember, you're not Christian. And that fact terrified me, because I said, we are 5% in this country, and our enemies know that we are Christian. How come God doesn't know we are Christian? It was not a matter of nationality. It was a matter of spiritual birth. It was a matter of receiving Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. When that made sense to me, I said, Lord, I receive you because you came to me. Today, this very day, when you're thinking about, I praise God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Today, when you think about, I am made in the image of God, remember that that image is distorted. And that image can only be fixed by accepting Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Let this VBS, the whole week, remind us this fact. And if you have not made this decision, now is the time to make that decision and get that relationship back, which was broken because of the sin of Adam. Let's bow our head for a minute and think about these things. Allow the word of God to rest in your mind, to search your heart and mind. Allow the truth of God to think for a minute. It is one of the greatest joyful decisions that one can make, to receive Jesus in his or her life. If you haven't made this decision, think for a minute. Hell is not for you and me. Hell is for the Satan and his demons. For you and I, Jesus has prepared a place where he wants you to live with him eternity, where he wants you to live eternity in his presence. Think for a minute. Think about your friends, your relatives who have not made this decision. Are you praying for them? Are you putting any effort to reach them with this message? Ask the Lord to give you burden for those in your family who are not Christian, who have not made this decision. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this wonderful opportunity, reminding us that we are not just a lump of dust, we are not just a lump of chemicals, but we are made in your image. And thank you very much that when we went away from you, when we disobeyed and went into the worst spiritual condition, you came down to save us. Because we couldn't save ourselves with our own efforts and good works. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. We are grateful. Our hearts rejoice in the assurance that we are loved by you, the Almighty, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. Thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you, Pastor Farouk, for that message. And finish like a couple minutes early. They're going to make you the new senior pastor. Praise the Lord. We're just going to play. We're going to play a song. We're going to be dismissed. There's a lot of VBS work to get done here today, but I got a number of really great notes for that. It's funny. Like even though I don't have. You know, I was raised to believe that we were made in the image of God, and that, you know, God's specific creation and the special people and all that stuff. But sometimes it's just the message from the world. It's so oppressive. The idea that we're just nothing, just chemicals. It's just a chemical reaction, it's a product of evolution and all that stuff. It kind of like, it's odd that as Pastor Farouk, as you were preaching and teaching that, I just found myself thinking, like, every so often I'd like wince. Because this is like, it's weird to hear somebody talk about how special human beings are. Isn't that weird that it's odd today? And that's from somebody that grew up in a Christian home. And I know I've been on this VBS thing hard, but we got kids that are coming in here that have never heard this idea. And it is going to sound weird to them. And maybe it sounded weird to you today. But I want to tell you, that is God's truth. I mean, I know you're made of dust just like I am, but God put the spark of the divine in there. You have made a living soul. God put eternity inside of you and inside of every one of these kids that's coming here today. And they need to know that. I mean, the epidemic of just hopelessness. I mean, the suicides among young people are staggering, and that's just the edge cases. The epidemic of hopelessness that's driving that, a lot of it's because they don't think they'll ever be as pretty as those people they see on Instagram. They'll never be as famous as those people on TikTok. They'll never be as rich as the people they see in the news. They'll never be as famous as the people in the movie stars. And they don't think they're that special. And they have no idea. So we got to tell them, Christian, amen? And by the way, for some of you, don't you forget that either. You're special enough for God to come and die on an old rugged cross just for you. At your worst, God thought you were that special. You remember that too. Take just one more minute of quietness and we'll sing and be dismissed. But hang on to that. Take a second. Pray for these kids.